Salem News journalist Dustin Luca is with us now, and it's been a while. Dustin, welcome back. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. It's, you know, things are getting warmer outside. We're talking on a Thursday at the beginning of March, and it's going to be 60 degrees today, so things could certainly be worse.
Well, yeah, optimism seems to be reigning supreme here. You know, the boys of spring and all that stuff. Good, good.
Think of the tulips.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that it's driving me crazy, Dustin, I've been reading the stories coming out of Salem State that you've been writing, and the whole thing, and there have been other stories, offshoots in other places. It's baffling to me, and I wonder if you could just maybe give us a little précis or a little summary of what's going on, because this looks like this really could be a big story.
Yeah, I mean, it's already kind of a big story, and like, so as we're talking about this today, I've been thinking about when to do like the next follow-up, and then all of a sudden get a message saying, oh yeah, there's a student protest today, and oh yeah, the faculty is starting to be concerned about whether the furloughs that they're about to go on to next week actually disrupt the CARES Act money that's coming out. Apparently there's a clause in some of the bills passed previously that says, you know, you should try to avoid at all costs putting your faculty on furlough if you can afford the payroll. So there's kind of concerns and chatter going around about whether the university could be losing some of the surplus that it has because of the furlough that's going on right now. But as it stands right now, faculty, at least professors and librarians, are going to be taking a week of furlough next week, and then one toward the end of May. That kind of came as a surprise to them because they were told back in December not to take furlough because of these other things that were going on. And it's like the entire situation has just basically blown up over the last 2 weeks. And now it's turned into this whole evolving kind of set of circumstances that seems to be changing day to day.
Furlough, does that mean pay or non-pay?
Non-pay.
So non-pay.
It's and I'm trying to remember the acronym. It's day off without pay is generally what people refer to it as.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a vacation day, except you're not actually being reimbursed for the vacation day.
Okay. Now, there seems to be a real strain between administration and staff here, and now you're telling me that perhaps the students are getting involved. What's the genesis of this thing? Is it designed to obviously save money? Is that the deal?
So the furloughs are to save money. One of the things that kind of started to come out of the situation last year financially is that the university is saying student enrollment's going down. You know, they're taking hits from COVID. They can't have as many people living on campus. So there's all these different aspects of the university's bottom line that are being affected. And they start talking about, you know, we have this deficit that's coming up in the year ahead that they have to kind of start padding. And that's a conversation that everybody's having, every city, every town, every business. They're all kind of looking at how COVID has impacted their bottom lines, and they're saying, what the heck are we going to do now? So one of the things a lot of businesses have been doing is laying people off, putting people on furlough. And at Salem State, what the furlough basically means, once you actually have every single union and every non-union personnel taking 2 weeks of furlough, is the university was able to save more than $3 million from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after they had a deficit, they had the furlough program. Most of the other unions have taken the furlough, just not the faculty one, basically. They have generated a surplus, and a lot of the faculty is saying, okay, we haven't taken our furlough yet. You actually don't need us to take the furlough because you're only going to save $1.5 million from that. And then the university is basically saying, well, these other unions already took their furlough. It's only fair for you to take yours as well. And then it gets into all of this stuff about, well, you're disrupting student services and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it starts to get really complicated. But the genesis of this was to save money. And the reason why it's still being talked about is because the university is forecasting a total of $20 million in deficit over the next 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So
yeah.
That's not the surplus right now. And they're basically saying we need to try to save the surplus as much as possible, so that we can offset those two deficits coming up.
And I did see somewhere in the Salem News, I don't know if you were on it or Paul was on it, but it was in the last 10 years, enrollment's gone down something like 30%, which is fairly significant.
Yeah, and I don't have the numbers immediately in front of me, but I know I've been looking at Salem State salaries and student enrollment, stuff like that, and there's kind of a couple of slides going around that cover the time period of like 2011 to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the student enrollment drop by like 2,000 students, but then also alongside that, faculty, you know, the amount of money they spend on faculty has gone up about, I think, like $8 million, and then administration's gone up as well. So there's kind of a lot of conversations going on there as well.
Final question I have about this, Dustin. The furloughs are, the staff, the faculty furloughs, are they aligned with breaks in the schedule so that classes would not be being held anyway?
Yeah, and that's exactly how the administration's tried handling it. So the first of the 2 weeks is going to be happening during spring break, and then the second of the 2 weeks is going to be the week immediately after commencement, the thinking being finals are done, commencement's done, so everybody should be off campus. But one of the things the faculty are saying is that during spring break, you've got a lot of students that are still trying to complete projects, taking advising hours. After commencement, they're in need of, you know, recommendations. They're finishing up final projects that may not be done yet. And, I mean, I was talking to one professor yesterday privately who talked about how, you know, she had a two-hour conversation with a student that basically said, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be able to get this project done because I'm not going to be able to talk to any of my professors next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've cleared that up for me, and I appreciate that. And I think that it's quite evident that, you know, a lot of people have had to make sacrifices across the board, across the country, and across the world, certainly. And I also think that this is a case where educators, in my estimation, I'm editorializing here now, educators have to step back a little bit and take a break, too, in terms of, okay, you know, maybe we can't have this particular standard. Maybe we can extend the time it takes for this project or this test to be done. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be everybody has to think this thing through. I was reading just kind of one side to it, but you fleshed that out for me. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, and that's certainly a good point. And I feel like, you know, just like everything else we've done for the past year, because we are now at the 1 year mark of basically all the shutdowns starting. Everybody's had to put things on hold, and we're still here. Everybody, you know, at least most of us are just, you know, still alive,
right.
And we're still, you know, all in the same boat together, still trying to get through this together. So there's been accommodations going around all over the place, but part of the struggle at Salem State is just how quickly this has come up and kind of how much it's kind of broadsided people, especially where, you know, we knew last year that there was going to be furloughs, but the faculty were only told 2 weeks ago that they were going to be having to take them next week.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Looking forward to the continuing coverage. And I implore people to check out the Salem News today and tomorrow, as Dustin will be busy today getting more coverage. Dustin, on a similar note, before we get to COVID response, the Salem High School, public high school, they're going to have to go through another change, and I think that's most unfortunate. The principal has found a need to retire, I believe, or at least resign. Maybe you could just give us a little quick capsule on that.
Yeah, so this came as a bit of a surprise because Salem, the high school, as you noted, has been kind of through several leadership changes. Off the top of my head, I think it's 4 principals in 5 years, something like that. I'd have to go back and count, but we had David Angiramo, Jen DiStefano, Vittoria Pacifico, and then Sam Meyer just now. Mm-hmm. And she was coming in as a permanent replacement. She started as an interim. People loved her. And now she's having to, you know, suddenly resign because, you know, of personal matters, which everybody's going through right now, and I can certainly sympathize with that. But it obviously doesn't help the high school at all because you've got these classes that are going through it, difficulty adjusting to COVID anyway, and now going through yet another leadership change. And they have to do the hiring within COVID, so you can't really do the tours of the high school. You can't see it, you know, full of life and things like that. So the search that they're about to do on this is going to be a very different search from the ones that they've done in the last few years.
I can imagine. And, you know, along the same lines, we didn't talk about it in our pregame warm-up here, but correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the city of Salem also looking for a new police chief?
Yep, new police chief, new fire chief as well.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, there'll be more on that coming up.
Yeah.
And finally, I think, Dustin, explain to me, please, the connection between sewage in the city and Salem seniors getting the COVID vaccine.
God, I love this story so much. So basically, the city's been trying to find ways of kind of getting ahead of the virus, and one of the things that we keep hearing about over and over again, though it's difficult getting the city to talk about it because they can't confirm X cases at Y location, they can't give addresses and things like that, obviously for HIPAA reasons. But basically they've been, since November, testing the raw sewage in the wastewater underneath the city's roads. They've been going to specific parts of the city where there's, you know, large neighborhoods, large buildings like Salem Heights or the Towers or something like that, and seeing if COVID's popping up in the water. And then once it does, they say, okay, we've got an issue here. This came up recently because in January they're doing testing and they found a spike in COVID in the wastewater by Charter Street. And why that matters is because there's actually a housing authority building that's 110 units. I think it's 10 stories. That's right there, kind of towering over the rest of downtown. Very, very heavily lived in by seniors and people who are at the highest risk of, you know, suffering from COVID. So they found the COVID in the wastewater. They did testing. and then saw what was going on there. And I don't know what they saw, but what they saw prompted them to go to the state and say, okay, we need vaccine and we need it now. I think that the thinking there was, with COVID possibly kind of going through the building a little bit, if you get as many people in the building inoculated as possible, then they'll be ready once COVID arrives at their doorstep. So what they were able to do is they were able to take the wastewater testing, go to the state, say, this is the problem that we're having. And then the state said, okay, here's doses for 400 people within the Housing Authority property. So it's not just Charter Street. They also had a clinic at Pioneer Terrace last week. You know, these two clinics were open to every eligible tenant across all of the Housing Authority properties, which is, I think, 710 some odd units or something like that. So
that's pretty good, connecting the dots and making some investigative journalism there. But also kind of creative thinking on health officials' part as well.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things that I loved about it is so we first heard about this because January 26th or 27th or something, the city actually put these envelopes on everybody's doorstep at 27 Charter Street that basically had a note saying COVID's in the wastewater, had a couple of masks, and had an invitation for testing the following week. So we got to see the city kind of respond in real time, say, okay, we could possibly be having a major issue at this building. Let's try to get ahead of it. And it was actually really kind of cool seeing that response evolve to the point that they were able to actually get an emergency allocation of vaccine from the state.
Fantastic, fantastic. Anything else you want to mention, Dustin?
Nope.
All right, that takes care of it. That's Dustin Luca, Salem News journalist. Dustin, thank you. We'll check in a couple of weeks.
Happy to do it.
Sounds good. Looking forward to tomorrow's stuff, too. Stay safe.
You too.
Take care.